Welcome to the Be Freed podcast, where we distill the world's best sources into personalized insights you can actually finish. I'm Naya, and today we're diving into something that's become a wellness buzzword, but is actually backed by fascinating science.
And I'm Jackson. I'm really excited about today's topic, the science of gratitude and how to build a practice that actually works. Not just the write three things you're thankful for advice we've all heard, but what research actually shows creates lasting change.
Exactly. I've tried gratitude journaling before and honestly felt nothing. It just became another chore. So I'm curious, what does the science actually say works?
That's such a common experience. We'll be connecting dots from neuroscience research, psychology studies, and insights from experts like Andrew Huberman and researchers who've spent decades studying how gratitude literally rewires our brains. Let's make this practical.
So, Jackson, let's start with the basics. What actually is gratitude? Because I think most of us just think of it as feeling thankful or positive vibes.
That's a great place to start. According to researchers Robert Emmons and Michael McCullough, who conducted some of the landmark studies in this field, gratitude is specifically a social emotion. It's what you feel when someone outside of you provides a benefit that costs them something and helps you in a way you couldn't easily do for yourself.
Oh, that's much more specific than I thought. So it's not just I'm grateful for sunshine, but more about recognizing others' contributions to your life?
Exactly. And that distinction matters because it explains why some gratitude practices work better than others. The most effective ones engage what neuroscientists call theory of mind, your ability to imagine someone else's perspective and intentions.
That makes me think about how different gratitude feels from indebtedness. Like when someone helps me and I feel I owe you now versus genuine appreciation.
Right. Research by Adam Grant and Francesca Gino found that feeling indebted can actually increase stress and avoidance behaviors, while genuine gratitude increases approach and connection. When people feel truly appreciated, they're more likely to help again because it signals they're socially valued.
So gratitude isn't just about making ourselves feel good. It actually strengthens relationships. That's pretty powerful.
Naya read in a relatable, casual, empathetic voice, like a best friend who just gets you.
That's good to know. I think sometimes wellness trends promise the moon, but it's more realistic to expect modest improvements that add up over time.
Absolutely. Think of gratitude as a gentle nudge in a better direction, not a magic bullet. But what's fascinating is how it works. It actually changes your brain and body in measurable ways.
Like what? I'm curious about the physical effects.
For one, it improves sleep quality. Studies show people high in gratitude enjoy better sleep because positive content fills their pre-sleep thoughts instead of rumination. There's even evidence it can lower blood pressure and reduce inflammatory biomarkers in heart patients.
Wow, that's impressive. So it's not just psychological. There are physiological benefits too.
Exactly. And brain imaging studies showed that when people feel or express gratitude, activity increases in regions central to valuation and theory of mind, our ability to model another's perspective. One longitudinal study found that people who wrote gratitude letters showed greater sensitivity to gratitude 3 months later.
So the brain actually gets better at noticing and experiencing gratitude with practice? That's pretty cool.
It is. And as social psychologist David DeSteno describes it on the Happiness Lab podcast, gratitude is an emotion of power that shifts choices toward longer-term goals. It's not just feeling warm and fuzzy, it reallocates your attention and effort.
So if the standard write three things you're grateful for approach often falls flat, what does work better?
This is where Andrew Huberman's analysis gets interesting. After reviewing the neuroimaging and behavioral research, he found that list making is often weak, but narrative is strong, especially when you receive gratitude in your mind's eye.
What does that mean exactly, receiving gratitude?
It means vividly recalling a specific time someone helped you and then mentally stepping into their perspective. How did they decide to help? What did they hope for you? This engages those theory of mind circuits we talked about in much deeper ways than generic lists.
I can see how that would feel more meaningful. It's the difference between writing, "I'm grateful for my friend Sarah," versus really reliving a moment when she went out of her way for me.
Exactly. The strongest lab paradigms that provoke gratitude in brain scanners are narrative-rich scenarios that demand perspective-taking. Huberman recommends a brief, repeatable practice. 5 minutes is more than enough, 3x weekly, centered on a real story involving a benefactor, their effort, and your felt sense of being helped.
That sounds doable. I like that it's not a huge time commitment.
Right? And here's another technique that works surprisingly well, mental subtraction. You choose something good in your life and briefly imagine it had never occurred, then reflect on how its presence changes your day now.
Oh, like It's a Wonderful Life. That makes sense. Sometimes we don't appreciate what we have until we imagine life without it.
Precisely. Studies show mental subtraction reliably increases gratitude even when people don't expect it to. It counters what psychologists call hedonic adaptation, our tendency to get used to good things.
So, if someone wanted to start a science-based gratitude practice today, what would that look like?
I recommend a 3-part weekly rhythm. First session, spend 5 minutes recalling a specific time you received help that cost the giver something. Jot down who helped, what it cost them, why you couldn't do it alone. Then close your eyes for 2 minutes and step into their perspective.
I like that. And for the second session?
Try mental subtraction. Choose one good thing, a relationship, opportunity, or skill, and briefly imagine your life if it had never occurred. Then write 2 or 3 sentences about how its presence changes your day now.
That's powerful. And the third part?
Express your gratitude. Write a short thank you message to someone specific. Get concrete about what they did and why it mattered. If appropriate, send it or read it aloud. Research shows expressed gratitude not only lifts you, but measurably boosts the recipient's motivation.
I've definitely felt that boost when someone thanks me specifically for something I did. It makes me want to do more.
Exactly. And timing-wise, 5 minutes per session is plenty. 3 times per week hits the sweet spot for physiological and mood changes without becoming rote. And here's a pro tip: rotate your sources. 1 week it's a teacher, next week a neighbor, another week a colleague. Novelty counters that hedonic adaptation we talked about.
Are there times when gratitude practices can actually be harmful? I've heard criticisms about toxic positivity.
That's a really important point. Gratitude isn't denial. Health writers and therapists caution against using gratitude to bypass legitimate pain. If you're struggling, pair gratitude with validation. This is hard, and I'm grateful for X that helps me cope.
That makes sense. Authenticity matters more than forced positivity.
Absolutely. Another pitfall is rote journaling. Writing family, job, coffee, nightly becomes white noise to your brain. That's why rotating practice types and getting specific about the benefactor's effort matters so much.
I've definitely fallen into that trap before. What about keeping gratitude to yourself versus expressing it?
Great question. Keeping it to yourself misses half the benefit. Express gratitude not only lifts you, it measurably boosts the recipient's motivation by increasing their sense of social worth. Being specific about what they did, what it cost, and how it helped you amplifies the effect.
That reminds me of work environments where recognition feels scarce. It seems like gratitude could be a powerful tool there.
Absolutely. Another pitfall is rote journaling. Writing family, job, coffee, nightly becomes white noise to your brain. That's why rotating practice types and getting specific about the benefactor's effort matters so much.
I've definitely fallen into that trap before. What about keeping gratitude to yourself versus expressing it?
Great question. Keeping it to yourself misses half the benefit. Express gratitude not only lifts you, it measurably boosts the recipient's motivation by increasing their sense of social worth. Being specific about what they did, what it cost, and how it helped you amplifies the effect.
That reminds me of work environments where recognition feels scarce. It seems like gratitude could be a powerful tool there.
Absolutely. In field experiments, a manager's simple expression of gratitude increased employee output because people felt more socially valued. Gary Vaynerchuk makes the same case in the thank you economy. In the social era, sincere gratitude scales influence and retention.
So, how might different people apply these insights? Like high performers who are always chasing the next goal?
Arthur Brooks from Harvard notes that strivers often chase what he calls the four idols: money, power, pleasure, prestige, while happiness comes from love and service. For them, scheduling one receiving session each week about a mentor or colleague who went out of their way can redirect attention from self-evaluation to relationship capital.
I can see how that would be grounding. What about parents and teachers working with kids?
Early experiments in schools found that counting blessings increased optimism and life satisfaction in students, with benefits especially strong for those who started lower in positive affect. The key is practicing specificity and rotating modalities to keep it fresh for adolescents.
And in the workplace, you mentioned manager recognition earlier.
Yes, don't outsource culture to perks. Practice thanks. Start meetings with one specific thank you. Track gratitude sent like any KPI. In those field experiments I mentioned, sincere gratitude from managers had measurable impacts on performance because it signaled social value.
I love how practical these applications are. It's not just about feeling good, it's about creating better outcomes in relationships, work, and education.
So, Naya, what are your biggest takeaways from our conversation today?
First, gratitude isn't just a personality trait. It's a skill we can develop through specific practices, and the science shows that narrative-based approaches work better than generic lists.
Absolutely. And remember that brief but consistent practice, just 15 minutes a week spread across 3 sessions, can create meaningful changes in your brain, relationships, and even physical health.
I also love that expressing gratitude isn't just self-help. It creates a virtuous cycle where both the giver and receiver benefit. That's pretty powerful.
Right? And finally, mix up your approaches. Receiving stories, mental subtraction, and express thanks all work through slightly different mechanisms. Variety keeps the practice fresh and counters hedonic adaptation.
That's your daily dose of smarter from Be Freed Podcast. If your brain liked it, come back tomorrow. We've got more where that came from. I'm your host, Naya.
And I'm Jackson. Until next time, try one 5-minute gratitude practice this week and see what happens. Your brain and the people around you will thank you.